It's time for Your Pet's Health, brought to you by Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital in Moorhead City. Pet Docs, your other family doctor.
And joining us this morning, of course, Todd Worrell of Pet Docs. And Todd, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Lockwood.
What's on tap today?
Well, I just had a couple of little news articles that I wanted to bring up. The first one is a recall, so we're familiar with these, unfortunately.
We've got one for eggs, as a matter of fact,
right,
a massive one.
Yeah. Right. So this one is actually a raw pet food recall, and of course, we've had issues with these more so recently in the last several months. But these are this is a chicken feast made by Canine Natural Frozen Chicken Feast is the brand. They've got 2.2 pound and 11 pound packaging of these. These are going to be obviously in a frozen section. They're raw, so they keep, that's why they keep them frozen to inhibit bacterial growth. But these batches have actually been found to contain listeria, which is a fairly common foodborne cause of illness. It's a bacterial infection. Generally produces flu-type symptoms, gastrointestinal symptoms, fever, that sort of thing, in dogs and humans.
Right.
And really, yes, we're concerned about our pets and the risk of these bacterial infections, but one of the big issues is the potential for human cross-contamination, you might say. So as with all of these recalls, for the most part, especially the ones that involve bacterial, you know, salmonella, listeria, E. coli, those types of things, there's always a human aspect to this because we're handling the food before it gets to our pets. So just wanted to mention that if anyone happens to use that type of frozen raw food, Canine Natural, I believe is the brand. It's a frozen chicken product. They definitely want to check on the website. There are some lot numbers, or batch numbers, I should say, and they can check to see if they have those and obviously dispose of that if you do.
You know, the interesting thing associated with the listeria in light of the fact that particularly dogs are pretty – they're foragers.
Sure.
And you would think that their immune system, for want of a better description, would not be impacted by that.
It's always a numbers game. In other words, you know, sure, there are dogs that are going to consume listeria, salmonella, E. coli, and you're right. They're going to, you know, their body's natural defense mechanisms. There are a number of those all along the pathway from the mouth to the end that will help protect them. But, you know, it's a numbers game, so come in contact with 10 bacteria, you might be okay. You come in contact with a million bacteria, you might not be okay. And it depends on the individual as well. So just like with people, you know, you and I could, you know, eat the same contaminated product. One of us may get sick, one of us may not.
Mm-hmm. One other quick question for you in light of your capacity as a veterinarian. Of course, Todd Worrell, Dr. Todd Worrell with us this morning, your other doctor, by the way. What is the treatment for animals with listeria?
Usually it's going to be supportive care antibiotics, of course, since it's a bacteria.
Really?
Yeah. So antibiotics. And it's one of those things that a lot of times we don't get a definitive diagnosis because testing a pet is not necessarily going to be economically feasible or time sensitive. In other words, you know, if it's going to take 3 to 5 days to get a result back, we're not going to wait before we start treating that pet. So, and the history is going to be important there too. You know, have they been consuming raw foods, that sort of thing.
So it's helpful. You need to know that information.
Right, exactly.
When I bring as a pet owner,
Okay. Exactly.
This is a big issue because, and by the way, can there be indications here that would mask other problems, or could this be an indication of, or could it, if a pet owner sees this, might they think there are other problems?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, for example, you know, they may assume that the dog got into the trash, or maybe that's what did happen, but they didn't realize that that it was a raw food issue. And this happens not just with raw pet foods, but of course it happens with, you know, foods that we're preparing for ourselves if dogs get into the trash. Or they may assume that it's some other issue. Maybe the dog's had some chronic, you know, gastrointestinal issues, who knows. But so there's a lot of things that go into it, and that's part of our job is in taking it, what we call a history, is to try and ferret out what are some of the more or less likely causes of the particular symptoms we're addressing. So.
Okay. All right. This is a pet recall. And by the way, yes. You said it's on the website.
It's on the, you'll have to go, probably the easiest, it is on our website. There okay. is a, there's right. a little widget on the website for food recalls that you can click on and you can find it there. You can always go to the FDA website too.
Well, this petdocs, docs.com. Right?
Right, exactly.
PetDocs.
Yep.
.com. All right.
So, also wanted to mention an interesting study out of the UK, where they actually looked at the medical records of almost 500,000 dogs in the UK. And they were looking at different conditions they might have been diagnosed with. And they do this through computers, obviously. What they found related to arthritis, osteoarthritis, the Rottweiler was the most predisposed dog breed to have osteoarthritis. So this is basically what we think of when we think of degenerative joint disease.
Uh-huh.
Arthritis is the most common term people use, osteoarthritis. You'll hear occasionally thrown around. Now, what that means is not that's not the most common. Well, for example, the most treated dog, most likely dog, or the dog breed that's most commonly associated with it would be the Labrador.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's because there are so many Labradors. Okay.
Okay.
So the Labrador retrievers were the most, most commonly treated breed for arthritis, but not the most prone breed. So in other words, there's just less Rottweilers around, but more Rottweilers are actually going to have osteoarthritis. So there's obviously, and we've known this for a long time, a strong genetic component to osteoarthritis. There are a lot of causes of arthritis. One of the things, and this, some of this research is out of NC State, actually, what they're showing is that a lot of times there are genetic triggers or genetic components to this, where the osteoarthritis process actually starts when they're much, much younger than we think, sometimes as early as a year or two of age. And we always think about this as a wear and tear type of problem,
right.
But it's not always. There's actually a genetic component to it. Not a lot of that's been fleshed out, but certainly a breed predisposition like this would support that information.
Okay, that gets me to another question here. I want to get back to this, and right after this break with Dr. Todd Worrell of Pet Docs. And you can join us, by the way, if you'd like to call in. You're welcome to do so. I'm going to give you those numbers. We've got Mandy's no longer with us. Kinsey, you want to give those numbers very quickly?
800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
You're listening to Your Pet's Health with Dr. Todd Worrell. Your Pet's Health with Dr. Todd Worrell this morning. PetDocs.com is the website, by the way, and the phone number, 252 area code 240-3885, 240-3885. We were just chatting about the issue of Rottweilers, osteoarthritis. My first question to you, Dr. Worrell, for owners of Rottweilers mm-hmm. or any animal that has the experience of osteoarthritis,
right.
is there some way to mitigate that for the animal, possibly starting at early age?
There are two things, actually, that you can do that we know, two things that we know are helpful. One is to maintain a healthy weight. In this UK study, they found that dogs that were an above average weight were 2.3 times more likely. Now that did not say that dogs that were grossly obese.
Right.
These are dogs that are just above average
mm-hmm.
weight. And a lot of times, so one of the most important things you can do is ask your veterinarian, is my dog's weight acceptable? Is there a target weight you would like to see my dog reach?
Okay.
Because most people assume that their dogs, when they're a little bit overweight, are just right.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times when they're just right, most pet owners think, oh, they're too thin.
Uh-huh.
So ask your veterinarian about that. That's very important. And then nutrition as well. So, for example, with a Rottweiler or other large breed dogs as their puppies, feeding them a large breed puppy formula food actually has a lot of benefit, because if you overfeed these puppies or you feed them a food that isn't geared towards large breed dogs and the rapidly growing dog scenario that we're talking mm-hmm. about, it can actually predispose them to having more joint problems later on.
So that description of the breed of dog food,
the size of the dog. Yeah, so you want a large breed puppy formula for a large breed dog.
Okay, another issue related to, mm-hmm. of course, genetic disposition. retrievers, I think Chesapeake or Goldens, renowned for hip dysplasia.
Hip dysplasia is very common in a lot of the large breed dogs, and it's a young dog's disease. It's usually one of those things that will develop in the first 2 years of life. A lot of people will come in with a 10-year-old dog and say, oh, I think he's got hip dysplasia, he's getting slow. It's really more arthritis, probably. Hip dysplasia would be something that they'll come in with, you know, symptoms when they're 1 or 2 years of age, usually. I mean, that's sort of a typical scenario. So hip dysplasia is actually a genetic young dog's disease. Now, it does lead to arthritis. Don't get me wrong. Again, there's some mixing of terms here that you can be difficult to keep straight sometimes. But hip dysplasia is just a laxity in the hip joint that is definitely determined a lot by genetics, but also by nutrition and how they're dealt with when they're puppies. So those are some things to ask about.
All right. We have Dr. Todd Worrell with us this morning. I don't know if we've got a phone call. If we have a sufficient time, I don't know that we do. I think this is an important case here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the situation of diseases and difficulties,
right?
But you bring it back to the topic, and actually, interestingly enough, you started out with nutrition because of the recall,
right?
So yeah. I think this is important. Dr. Todd Worrell, again, of PetDocs.com, and that local number, 252 area code, 240-3885. That's 240-3885. And by the way, also on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and with a PetDocs app for your phone. I like that idea. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.